protect your people will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the end of the until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people is finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance."
Thanks, Kate. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you that you are a speaking God, that you spoke your word to Daniel, and that you continue to speak that same word to us, to your spirit. And we pray that your spirit would help us now to, by opening our minds to understand, but also that your spirit would be moving our hearts, that we would respond to your word to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt, had that experience that you feel like you're swimming against the tide in life? As a child, I grew up just a few miles away from Wembley Stadium. And as a teenager, I went to lots of England football home games because it was just down the road. And in those days, it was cheap. And one day, we were right near the top of the stadium. And it was terracing in those days, so loads of steps up to the top. As the game ended, we made our way down and we got all the way to the bottom when one of my friends realised that they'd left something behind at the top. And so we were pushing our way past thousands of people who were all coming towards us, and we were the only ones going in the opposite direction, the wrong direction, I hasten to add. And it was really hard work. When everyone's going in the opposite direction, it's just easy to be swept along by them. But no, we had to make our way right to the top again and go against everybody. And as we've been reading the book of Daniel, we've seen that trying to live faithfully for God can feel a bit like this, because we live in what is not our home. We are exiles. Daniel was a real exile, transported from Jerusalem to Babylon when he was a young man. But we too, as Christians, are exiles. This isn't our real home. We're waiting for our true home. And when everyone around us is living to a different set of values and beliefs, it can feel as if we're pushing against that tide, and it can be tiring. Wouldn't it just be easy to go with the flow? What will keep us going? What will keep us staying faithful to God? Well, we've been seeing in the book of Daniel throughout the series that this book can, this message from Daniel can really help us. We've seen in the early chapters how Daniel practically lived out being faithful to God when he lived in a different land. He's now part of the Persian Empire. They conquered the Babylonians, but he still stayed faithful to God. And the last 2 weeks, we've been in the final vision that was given to Daniel by God. And we've heard the angel explaining lots of things that are going to happen in the near future for Israel, but also things that are going to happen at the end of time. And we get the last bit of the angel's communication to Daniel here in verses 1 to 4. You can imagine Daniel as he listened to the angel explaining all the difficult things that were going to happen to God's people and the persecution they'd experience. You might, can imagine him thinking, gosh, is there going to be any good news? Has my living for God, even though it's been so hard at times and nearly cost me my life, is it worthwhile? The book of Daniel ends up with two great encouragements for him, but also because Daniel's God is our God, encouragements for us that will help us stay faithful to God. And we've got an advantage because the things that the angel begins to talk to Daniel about here, we have fleshed out much more fully in the rest of Scripture. So we understand in a way that Daniel perhaps couldn't. So we're going to look at these two great encouragements. And here's the first one in verses 1 to 4. The encouragement that there will be a resurrection and a judgment to come. Let me read verse 1 again. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. This is the angel speaking to Daniel. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. So, we have this reference again to Michael. We met him in chapter 10, one of the chief angels. And remember, Hebrews 1 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve all who will inherit salvation. That's what angels are. Spirits sent by the Lord to serve all who will inherit salvation. So, we discover here in verse 1 that he is going to protect, he does protect God's people. And at the end of human history, there will be the time of the greatest distress ever experienced. But here's the good news and the encouragement to keep on being faithful. Everyone whose name is written in the book, the angel says, will be delivered. Now, what's this book this angel's talking about? Well, we know from the rest of Scripture, sometimes it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's picture language to tell us that God knows exactly who are his. He knows exactly who trusts and loves him as Savior throughout all of human history. He knows who are seeking to live with Jesus as Lord of their lives. And the assurance here comes that all those whose names are in that book will be delivered. Deliverance isn't for everyone. The end of the whole Bible in Revelation 21 puts it this way: only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will live in the new creation with the Lord. If you're one of those whose trust is in Jesus as the only Savior you need, then even in the time of greatest distress, you're actually secure. Even in death, you will know true deliverance. And it's wonderful to know, isn't it, that God knows exactly who you are. I don't know about you, but I can go into a room packed full of people, and maybe I know most of them. And it takes me a while to remember people's names, let alone to remember, recall details about their life. But not so with God. We're not a faceless one amongst many. If your trust is in Jesus, if you love Jesus, then your name is recorded. He knows you personally. Each one of his people, precious to him. Is going against the flow of our society worth it? Well, here's one reason. Yes, because that way you're known by God Almighty, and he will ultimately deliver you. So it is totally worthwhile keeping on living faithfully for him. But what will this deliverance look like? Look at verse 2. The angel says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, so the dead will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And that's consistent with what God tells us throughout the scriptures, that all people will be raised from death at the end of time when Jesus returns. Not just those who are saved through their faith in Jesus, but all people. But not all people share the same destiny. Those who love Jesus enter everlasting life in his perfect kingdom. Those who in life rejected Jesus, or including those who are indifferent to him, because being indifferent to him is just another form of rejection, are raised to what is described here as contempt and eternal shame. They're raised to basically experience the consequences of their rejection of the one who is the source of everything that is good. They'll experience eternal shame for how they treated the Saviour that was offered out to them. They would experience the contempt of God as they treated the life he offered them in Jesus with the same contempt. If you're listening in or you're here today and you're not yet someone who is following Jesus and has your trust in him, that's why I say to you, this is the most important thing you can ever do, is to investigate the claims of Jesus now while you have a chance. Because it's not just consequences and change that it will bring about in this life, but eternally. If you'd like to know more, then talk to me afterwards, or if you're listening online, drop me an email through the website. It's the most important thing you can do. The angel tells Daniel something more about the destiny of those who do trust Jesus. Look at verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. We came across this expression, the wise, last week, earlier on in the angel's words to Daniel, back in chapter 11, verses 33 to 34. The wise were those who know their God, and because they know their God, they firmly resist all who seek to usurp God as king of all. That's the wise. And what happens to them? Well, we're told here they will shine like the brightness of the heavens. It's a picture of God's people basking in Jesus' glory. Jesus told a story about God's kingdom. You might have read it before. Jesus said that God's kingdom is like a field planted with good seed. But in the nighttime, an enemy comes and scatters weed seed amongst the good seed. And both grow up together. And at harvest time, the weeds are pulled up and burnt before the harvest of the good seed can be brought in. And Jesus concludes his story by saying this in Matthew 13. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The glory of God will be shared with his people in his kingdom. So we'll shine. It's a picture of purity, closeness to God, shining, sharing his glory. But did you notice the other part of verse 3? And those who lead many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. So as we point to Jesus, we point other people to Jesus now, we do so praying that they too will come to put their trust in Jesus and be put right with God, so that they'll be made righteous by him. As we do that, at the end of the age, God says, our reward for pointing others to Jesus will be to shine like stars forever, radiating the glory of Almighty God. Imagine being there at the end of time as you look around and suddenly you see people that you didn't realize you played a part in their life in pointing them to Jesus. Maybe that conversation you had with someone years ago, but you never saw the person again. You never knew what the outcome was. Or that friend that you lost touch with when you moved away, but unbeknown to you, they carried on finding out about Jesus and they came to trust in themselves. Here's a second reason to keep on living faithfully for Jesus. Even if it feels like we're swimming against the flow, there will be others in God's kingdom as a result of your faithful living. who might end up shining like stars along with you in God's kingdom because you just pointed them towards Jesus. In verse 4, the angel tells Daniel to seal up the words of this vision until God's people need them. The generations after Daniel would read his word, and they'd see much of it fulfilled in their history. We did that in detail last week, didn't we, as we looked through chapter 11. But it's God's word for us too, to prepare us for what's to come at the end of human history, to help us to stand firm for God, knowing this deliverance that we will have, that we will be raised to everlasting life and will shine in his glorious kingdom. That's something worth going against the flow for now, isn't it? Well, the angel stops speaking, and we look at our second encouragement from the last few words in Daniel in verses 5 to 13. We're going to see that the Lord of history has prepared a place for you. Daniel sees two more angels join the first one, and one of them asks the main angel, how long will it be until all these words are going to be fulfilled? Look at verse 7. The angel answers, it will be for a time, times and half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. Basically, that's meant to be an encouragement. The times are set. Times, times and a half. This distress for God's people won't go on indefinitely, forever and ever. It's limited by God, and it's not an ending. That time will end, reminding us again that God rules over all of history. And Daniel's response, I think, might echo some of ours at times as we've looked at these visions at the end of Daniel. What does Daniel say? In verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And the angel replies to him in verse 9, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Basically, carry on living faithfully for God, Daniel. These words are for a time that's going to be a long way after you. Life will carry on in much the same way until the end time comes. Verse 10, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So life will carry on. The wicked will carry on living with no reference to God, following their own path in life. But at the same time, many people will come to trust Jesus, that will trust him as the one that can rescue them from their sin and from God's coming judgment. And they're described here that they'll be purified, made spotless before God. And that's what's been going on the last 2,000 years or so since these words were spoken to Daniel. To remind you again that if you're here and you aren't yet someone who is following Jesus, that God's diagnosis that the biggest problem in the world isn't something out there. The biggest problem is actually inside each of us. It's our sinful hearts that live in rebellion to God's good ways. It messes up our own lives. It makes us dirty before God. We hurt others, we disregard God, we trash his good creation and his gifts. That's what the Bible means by the wicked. We are impure and dirty before a perfect God. But most of all, our sin offends the God who made us. And so we deserve that right judgment of verse 2, that everlasting contempt. But God the Son came to us in Jesus to deal with the problem of our sin. On the cross where he died, he willingly took that sin on himself. Everything that makes you and me unclean and defiled in God's eyes, he took on himself and bore the judgment for it. It killed him. But God raised him up from the dead, vindicating his sinless life and his death in our place. And so it means if you come to place your trust in Jesus, if you believe what he has done for you is true and real, that dirt and offense of your sin is washed away. You become pure and spotless in God's eyes. That's what Jesus offers you if you'll come to him and let him deal with your sin. Here's reason number 3, to swim against the flow of society by trusting Jesus. Only he offers you this rescue from sin. Restore a relationship with your Creator. Only He cleans up the darkness of your heart, a darkness that this world celebrates and encourages as it goes in the opposite direction. And the angel says, in the days from Daniel onwards, some people are going to come and trust in Jesus and be purified and made spotless. But also the wicked will continue to be wicked. Will this time continue forever? No. The angel tells Daniel once again that the times are set. Look at verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. Remember last week, this is language we saw in the vision that the angel was describing to Daniel. The abomination that causes desolation would refer to events that would happen just a couple of hundred years after Daniel, when the pagan ruler Antiochus IV stopped the Jewish sacrifices in the temple, and he placed a pagan idol there in Jerusalem. But also we saw, didn't we, that how Jesus uses this same language in teaching his disciples. And Jesus was pointing them to what would happen in AD 70 when the Romans entered the temple with their pagan symbols and emblems, even entering into the Holy of Holies in the temple, the place where God's presence manifested itself, and then they destroyed everything. But also there's a sense, as we saw last week, this language points us to the end of time when a powerful leader will seek to rival God and will speak against the one true God. But even then, God reassures us this time won't go on forever. 1,290 days is picture language. The message is basically, but blessed are those who endure beyond those days to 1,335 days. Blessed, happy, fulfilled are the one who waits, trusting God, and endures after this rebellion against God ends. So the last word to Daniel encourages him and encourages us just to keep on faithfully living for God. Verse 13. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Keep going, living faithfully for God, Daniel. And then you will rest. It's a lovely picture, isn't it, of life is such a struggle. Even everything always seems such hard work, doesn't it? Nothing seems simple. And yet that time will come when all that will be over and we will be able to rest in God. But more than that, it's not that just Daniel will die and rest and then rise when Jesus returns again. But here's the great encouragement. God knows Daniel personally and so says to him, I've got an allotted inheritance for you in my eternal kingdom. You will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. It's the same word used of the allotted tracts of physical land that were given to each of the tribes of Israel and each of the families within those tribes when they entered the promised land hundreds of years earlier. Exactly the same language was given. It was their allotted inheritance. Every person then had their little share of land that was theirs, a gift, an inheritance from God. In the same way, for those who trust in Jesus, God says there's an allotted share of my coming kingdom that is just set aside for you. You are known. I know you. This is what I've got prepared for you. Jesus said something similar, didn't he, to his disciples on the night before he was killed. In John 14, he says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Here's our final reason, reason number four, to keep on faithfully living for God. Even when the world around us hurtles in the opposite direction, if you know Jesus as Saviour, Almighty God knows you and has got a place ready for you in his glorious kingdom. There's a place just for Kate. There's a place just for Rachel. He knows you. He's gone ahead to prepare it for you. His death sealed that for you. And that's really important for us to cling on to that, because our society would tell us that we can find true security in paying off our mortgage, or in investing in a really good pension pot, or we can find real security in having a large family and friends around us, or we can find real security in having the freedom to do what we want and enjoy ourselves. Here's the thing, any one of those things can be wiped out in a moment. But not so the inheritance that God has for those who are his. As we've seen throughout Daniel, living for God in a pagan culture isn't easy. There's times when being faithful to God is going to cost us, as it did Daniel and his friends. And at the moment, we live in a time of history when people around us, particularly the metropolitan elite, who are progressive, tell us that we're on the wrong side of history. But actually, from God's perspective, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, when we take our stands on maybe moral issues from God's word, or when we claim that Jesus is the only way to God because that's how God has revealed it to us in his word, we're not actually rebels. We might be being made to feel like we're rebels, but actually we're being loyal subjects. I read an illustration that maybe will help us appreciate this in a different way. I read this illustration this week in a book completely nothing to do with Daniel, but I thought it was helpful. Robin Hood. It's a picture of Robin Hood there. Those of you that don't have English heritage, Robin Hood is a mythological figure from hundreds of years ago, and he went around robbing the rich to help the poor. And he constantly defied the orders of the Sheriff of Nottingham, where he lived, and Prince John. Prince John was the regent king of England. But actually, Robin Hood wasn't a traitor, because Prince John wasn't really the king. The true king was Richard the Lionheart, and he was out of the country battling overseas. And in the mythology of Robin Hood, Robin always stays loyal to King Richard, whatever opposition he experiences from the pretenders to Richard's throne. So Christians, in a way, we are heirs of Robin Hood. At times it might feel like we're being disloyal to our culture. There might be times when we need to disobey earthly rulers and authorities for the sake of staying true to Jesus. But we don't do so as rebels. We do so as loyal subjects of the true king, Jesus. Those pushing the sexual revolution, or those wanting to blur the gender norms, those wanting to push the right to take life in the womb, they're not actually progressive. They're behind the times, because a new king already rules, Jesus. And history is heading towards that day when his power and authority will be known to all, where everyone will see and know that he is king and Lord. Christians, we're actually ahead of the curve. We're actually firmly on the right side of history and eternity. So like Daniel, we can live faithfully for the true king, no matter what the cost, because he knows his own people. He's got a glorious inheritance waiting for you, where we'll shine with the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that your word points us what is to come, so that we can have true and solid hope, so that we can daily put our trust in you and live for you, even if that costs us popularity or friends or job opportunities, even at times if it puts us on the wrong side of the human rulers and authorities. Thank you that we can do so with security and confidence, knowing that you know us as your people, and that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, you have opened up a way for this inheritance to be ours. Father, pray that you'd help each of us when we feel that pull of just going with the flow, when we question ourselves if it's really worth staying true to you, that you'll remind us of what is ours yet to come. Thank you that your love is so great that you know each one of us. Thank you that if our trust is in Jesus, our names are in that book, that we have that future certainty and security. May that, through your Spirit, give us boldness to carry on living faithfully for you now. We ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to end with one last song that reminds us that it's Jesus' work in us that has done this. And as we come in the later verse to his death and resurrection and that inheritance that is ours to come. So let's praise him for that as we sing these words.